All right, I want everybody to go with me to the book of Hebrews, chapter 4. Worship team, you did an amazing job today. Thank you so much for leading us into the presence of God. Y'all make preaching easy. All right, Hebrews chapter 4. We've been looking at this topic of the rest of God. We have determined, according to Hebrews chapter 4, there is a rest, a place of rest. Jesus said, take my yoke upon you. Learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. We've been discussing how that serving God should not be a burden. You remember what Jesus said to the Pharisees? He said, you put burdens on people that they can't bear. Can I tell you something? Religion puts a lot of burdens on people that they just can't live up to. God's not into religion. God's into relationship. And there is a place in God where we can rest in everything that God has done for us. So Hebrews chapter 4 says there remains a promise of entering his rest, and let us fear lest any of us come short of it. And we've been talking about that if we're going to fear anything, we don't need to fear a vaccine. We don't need to fear people. We don't need to fear politics. What we really need to be afraid of is that we don't find the place of the will of God for our life. Because if you don't know the will of God and you don't understand that the work of God has already been finished. Listen, at the cross, Jesus didn't hang there and say, to be continued. He said, it is finished. Everything God is ever going to do, he's already done. The Bible says, if you go on down here in verses 8 through 11, that he has ceased from his labor. God's not in heaven wringing his hand trying to figure out what he's going to do about your life tomorrow. He already knows what's going to happen tomorrow. And he's already finished the work. He's taken care of everything for you. So we've been talking about, as a Christian, we're not trying to get God to do something. We're trying to move and align ourselves in what God has already done. There is a finished work. Now, as we studied that, we went, and I want you to go right now over to the book of Ephesians. And we started looking at some of the finished things that have been accomplished for us from the foundation of the world. And in verse number 2, notice how the Apostle Paul starts it out. Grace to you and peace. And we talked about the power of grace and peace. Do y'all remember any of this? We talked about the power of grace and peace. You can't have peace if you don't understand grace. See, you think you have to work for everything. And there's no peace to serving God like that. What you got to realize is the grace of God has already provided. Say that out loud. The grace of God has already provided. Everything you need, grace has taken care of it. So what we started doing here is we looked at verse number 3. And we started looking at some of these things. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. This is past tense, and I tell you all the time that I like the King James Version here. It says, he hath blessed us. Much more powerful focus on the past tense of the word. God has already blessed you. Whew, can I give you something to shout about today? You're not trying to get blessed. You're already blessed. I'm not trying to get God to bless me. I'm already blessed. I'm not trying to get God to heal me. I'm already healed. I'm not trying to get God to raise me up. I'm already raised up. He said, I'm the head and not the tail. I'm above only. I'm not beneath. I'm not trying to get God to bless me. I've already been blessed. Way before the foundations of the world, when it was just God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, the Godhead made their mind that they were going to bless you and choose you and create you. You think God all of a sudden just 30 years ago decided you needed to be born at this time? No. The Bible says those whom he foreknew, Romans chapter 8, those whom he foreknew, he did also predestinate to be conformed to the image of his dear son. God already knew you were going to be here. So God's already blessed you. Grace has all... Trying to calm down before I get too wound up. Grace has already provided for you. Say it out loud. Grace has already provided. You're not trying to get provision. Come on. I'm not trying to get the money for this land. I know God's already provided it. Y'all realize that land could have sold a long time ago. But God had to get the right person to buy it, to hold it, till I could get to Cookeville, Tennessee, and we could get a church together to get that land. Grace has already provided. Come on, say it again. Grace has already provided. And when you know that, you got peace. You're not trying to work for it. You're not trying to earn it. Whew. Grace has already provided. I got to move on. He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. So everything spiritually I need, I've already got it. Well, we said, well, that's good. He blessed us spiritually, but what about physically? What about the, you know, it's one thing to be blessed in heavenly places. It's another thing to be blessed in the nasty now and now. How many know life's tough? Right? We'll go over here to 2 Peter. 2 Peter, now you're going to need your Bible because I told them not to put any of these scriptures on the screen. We've gotten so used to a screen, we don't even carry a Bible anymore. We need our Bible. 2 Peter, chapter 1. God's already provided everything spiritually. But look at this, verse number 3. His divine power has, past tense, given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through Christ Jesus, through the knowledge of Him. Listen, not only have you already been given everything spiritually, you also have already been given everything that pertains to life. Every physical need, every mental need, every emotional need. God has already provided. Say it. God has already provided. I know I keep beating this drum, but I'm trying to get it into your mind. Quit working so hard to get blessed and realize you already are blessed. Everything you need, spiritually, physically, financially, emotionally, has already been provided. Grace has already paid for it. Now, let's go back over to the book of Ephesians here because we got to talk about this. Notice, we're going to come down. Notice verse number 4 says, we were chosen in Him from before the foundation of the world. You were chosen before the foundation of the world. You didn't just get here at this moment. God chose you to be here for this moment. Now go down to verse number 5. Not only has God chose you in eternity past, look, you've been predestined. Predetermined for this moment. The book of Psalms says all of your days have been recorded in a book before there were any of them. Think about that. And then let's go down to verse number 6. To the praise of the glory of His grace by which He has made us accepted. You have already been accepted. You have already been accepted. I know you think if you come to church enough, fast enough, pray enough, give enough, that God's going to accept you. Can I tell you, God's already settled what He thinks about you. You have already been accepted. Look at all this stuff that's already been done for us that we don't know. See, this is the reason I tell you the book of Ephesians is a great book, because the first 3 chapters of the book tell you who you are in Christ. The last 3 chapters of the book tell you how to get it. Notice here in verse number 11, in Him also we have, past tense, obtained an inheritance. You've already got an inheritance. You're not trying to give it, get it. Go down to verse number 13. You who have believed, you were sealed, past tense, with the Holy Spirit of promise. God already made the power of the Holy Spirit available before you. God knew who was going to receive Him, and He said the Holy Spirit is going to be the seal of promise for you. All this has already been done. Look at me. Grace has already provided. Grace has already provided everything you need spiritually, everything you need physically, everything you need financially. Most Christians I know spend their whole life frustrated just trying to work themselves into the favor of God. You don't have to work for the favor of God. When Jesus hung on the cross, He bore your sin, my sin, and He determined right there, it's finished. They're blessed because I choose them. Now, I wouldn't have chose me. I wouldn't have chose some of you. I can promise you because I know you. But He chose me. God's got a picture of you as a screensaver on His iPhone. All over the mantles of heaven is pictures of you. You're God's favorite. See, when I teach this, I can see this coming over you, because religion has browbeat us into thinking that we've got to do certain things to be right with God. Listen, if there's anything you got to do, any form, any discipline you got to do that makes you right with God, Jesus' sacrifice was not enough. Well, you don't believe that? Let's go down to Ephesians chapter 2 here, verse number 8. Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 8. Notice the power of grace. For by grace you have been saved through faith, that not of yourself. It is the gift of God. Not of what? Not of what? Not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we're his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Grace is what's provided you the way. You say, well, okay, Pastor, that's cool. You know, I've got all this stuff that grace has given me. The real issue is, why am I not walking in it? Why am I not walking in the fullness of everything that God has for me? Why am I living like a pauper when God has called me a king? Why is that? Well, he goes on to tell you that in Ephesians chapter 1 here. Go over there, Ephesians chapter 1. Notice that Paul, after he tells them who they are in Jesus, he starts praying a prayer for them. And here's the prayer. He says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of your understanding being lightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand. So, and I could go on there, but basically what Paul's saying, this is what grace has done for you. Grace has already given you everything that you need. Grace has already provided everything spiritually. Grace has already provided everything physically. Grace has already chosen you. Grace has already accepted you. Grace has already blessed you. The issue is not what God has done. The issue is you don't know it. So Paul says, I'm going to pray a prayer. I pray that the eyes of your understanding would become enlightened so that you would get a revelation of who you are in Jesus and what grace has provided for you. So the real issue is not what I'm not getting. The real issue is I'm not accessing what's already on the inside of here. Everybody put your hand right here. If you're saved, the Holy Spirit is your seal of redemption. Is that right?
Yeah.
Give me a Baptist nod, right? If you're saved, the Holy Spirit is right here on the inside of you. Now, part of you is flesh, your body. Part of you is a soul, your mind, will, emotions, your seat of your intellect. But if you're saved, the Holy Spirit has taken up residence on the inside of your inner man, which means one third of you is wall-to-wall Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
Now, think about that. What does that mean? The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. The same Spirit that caused Jesus to be able to walk on water. The same Jesus that caused Jesus, the same power that caused Jesus to be able to cast out 6,000 demons out of one man. The same Jesus that empowered him, same power that empowered Jesus to hang on a cross when he could have called 10,000. All that power is locked up on the inside of you. That's the reason this statement is made. Let's go over here to the book of Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3, verse number 20. Remember I told you the first three chapters of Ephesians tells you who you are in Christ. And I could spend days and days and days on each one of these little principles that I'm teaching you right now. But I'm trying to stir your faith up to believe more from God for your life. Right? Look at verse number 20. Watch this. Now we got the Holy Ghost. Everybody put your hand back over here. We got the Holy Ghost in here. Right? See, we're always asking God, do this, God do that, God do this, God do that. Listen to what Paul said. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, where's that power at? Right here. So we don't need God to come down. We need to let God out.
Right?
All that power is resident right here on the inside of me. Don't tell me you're a loser. If you're saved, you got a winner right here on the inside of you. All this power is deep down on the inside of you. All you got to do is come into a knowledge of who you are in Jesus and what he's done in you. One of the greatest, I believe, joys of my life is to teach people what I'm teaching them right now. It's to help them know there's nothing you can't do. There's nothing you can't do. If you awaken and release the power of the Holy Ghost that's on the inside of you. Everybody say, it's in me. That's the reason you'll never see Jesus pray for the sick like this. Father, please heal them. And you'll never see any of the apostles pray like that either. What did Peter and John do in Acts chapter 3? Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have. Do you know that right there will get you kicked out of most churches? If you walk around and say, I got healing power on the inside of me, but that's how all of the apostles believe, such as I have, give I unto you. Well, they can't give something if they don't have it. Where did they get that power? From the Holy Ghost in Acts chapter 2, when he came and took up residence on the inside of them, the same power that Jesus used to heal the sick, all of a sudden was delivered to them. Don't you remember what Jesus said in Luke chapter 10, verse number 19? All authority in heaven and earth has been given unto me, and now I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And then in another place in the Gospels, he said, you heal the sick. But this is what we do. We pray illegal prayers. Lord, I pray that you do this. And Lord, I pray that you do this. And Jesus has given you the authority to lay hands on the sick. And they shall. You don't believe that? Mark chapter 16. And these signs shall follow those who believe. Do I need to quote more scripture for you? And these signs shall follow those who believe. In my name they'll cast out devils. They'll speak with new tongues. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They'll lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. What was the Lord telling you? The Lord's telling you the same power that gave me victory is getting ready to take up residence on the inside of you, and you can tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. You can heal the sick. You can raise the dead. And something that, well, I don't even know if I need to talk about this one. I mean, if you really want me to talk about the authority of the believer, what if I went over here where Jesus said, whoever sins you remit is remitted. You mean you got the power to forgive sin? No, you don't have the power to forgive sin. But what Jesus is saying, you have authority on the earth to release people from the iniquity and the sin that is binding them. You can't forgive them, but he's giving you delegated authority to set the captive free. You say, well, how can we do that? By the authority of the Holy Ghost right here on the inside of me. Y'all okay? I'm trying to figure out if I need to even go to the next part. So I've got all of these wonderful benefits, don't I? Everybody say benefits. In fact, that brings me to my next scripture, Psalm 103. Psalm 103. Psalm 103. Y'all getting anything? Psalm 103. Look at this right here. I love this passage right here. Bless the Lord, O my soul, all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget not all his benefits. Do you know you got benefits? Grace has provided all these benefits. The problem is we forgot it. Or we let religion talk us out of it. You know, religion can do a real good job of telling you what you can't do. But you'll never see that out of Jesus. He'll say, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. All that power is on the inside. You got benefits. In fact, you don't just have benefits. Let's go over here to Psalm 68 real quick. We're going to come back to Psalm 103. Let me show you what he says about these benefits. Psalm chapter 68. Got this new Bible I'm breaking in, and the pages want to stick together. Psalm 68, look at verse number 19. Blessed be the Lord who daily loads us with benefits. I don't just have benefits. The King James Version there says daily loadeth. I love that. I don't just have benefits. Look at me. I'm loaded. I'm loaded. You don't just have everything Ephesians says that you have. You don't just have everything that grace has provided you. Folks, you're loaded with it. You're loaded with it. There is a wealth on the inside of you. You're just loaded with it, wall to wall with it. He daily loadeth us with benefits. All these things grace has given me, and I don't even know it. I'm walking around, I'm loaded, don't even know it. Right? How pitiful is that? I'm loaded and don't even know it. Well, let's go back to Psalm 103, because I want to show you one benefit that you've got. Now, I've already thrown out a lot. I've already given you a lot. But let me just deal with one benefit. And next week, we're going to deal with the next benefit. And then the next week, the next benefit. And then the next week, the next benefit. And I'm just going to preach this till I find a group of people who so believes it so much, has so much faith about it, that they're going to rise up and change the world. All this power is on the inside of you. You're loaded with benefits. Now notice here, bless the Lord, O my soul, forget not all his benefits. Notice, who forgives all of your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness, tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. You got benefits. Can I tell you some of the benefits today? I just want to deal with one. And before I deal with this one, I want you to write three words down somewhere. I don't care if you write them down in your phone. I don't care if you write them down on paper. I don't care if you write them in the margin of your Bible. I want you to write these three words down today. Write them down. Number one, write the word remove. Remove. Then write the word remember. And then the third word, write the word released. Remove, remember, release. You say, why are you having us write these words down? Because notice, the first benefit you have as a believer is you have a God who forgives all of your iniquities. He forgives all your iniquities. Say that. He forgives all your iniquities. Now, turn over in the same chapter there, verse number 10 through verse 12. Notice what he says here. God has not, this is verse 10, God has not dealt with us according to our sins. Aren't you glad for that?
Yeah.
Aren't you glad you didn't get what you deserve?
Yeah.
That's mercy.
Yeah.
Mercy is you not getting what you deserve. Grace is you getting what you don't deserve, right? He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. There's a difference between sins and iniquities. There's a difference between transgression and iniquities. So when God says one of the benefits is he forgives all of your iniquities, it really means something big. And I want to tell you what it means here in just a moment. Look at verse number 11. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Notice, here's the first benefit. I told you, you're loaded with all kinds of benefits. Here, everything's already been provided, but I want to tell you about one of the things that provided that Christians don't realize. They're constantly trying to get right with God. But the Bible says one of the benefits is he forgives all of your iniquities. Now, if you're taking notes, let me define iniquities versus transgressions. Iniquities is inward motivation. It's an inward thing, an inward motivation. Transgression is outward activity. Right? Let me see if I could define it like this. You remember when Jesus said, when they asked him about committing adultery, he says, I say to you that if a man looks on a woman with lust in his heart, he's already committed it. Lust and adultery is a good example of the difference between iniquities and transgressions. Iniquities would be lust. It's the inward motivation. I can't see you lusting, but it can be in here, right? In here. Transgression is the outward activity. So lust, an inward motivation, will eventually lead to the transgression of adultery or fornication or some sexual sin, right? So when the Bible says that God has removed or forgiven all of your iniquities, he's making a big statement. He's making a huge statement. First of all, write this down. Here's the first benefit that God's giving you. Or when he says he's forgiven all your iniquities, here's what he's saying. He's saying three things to you. Number one, he's saying, I've removed all of your transgressions. I've removed all your transgressions. All of the outward works of your sin has been removed by God. And they haven't just been removed by God. Boy, I'm preaching good right now. Verse number 12 says, as far as the east is from the west. Now, our problem is we think linear. When we say east and west, we say, well, America and Russia or something like that. But God's not viewing everything from a fixed boundary. Psalm 90 verse 2 says, from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. God is viewing everything from eternity. So when God says east from west, he's not thinking about the globe. He's thinking about the vastness of who he is, eternity. Come on. Listen to me. Everybody in this room has transgressed. Everybody in this room has committed sin. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's nobody perfect in here, even though David Hunter thinks he is. Carolyn will tell you for certain that he is not. Right? There's no perfect people, only Jesus. So that means everybody in here's got a problem. You've got transgression that's following you around. But the good news is, one of the benefits of being a believer is he removes my transgression from me. And the Bible says he casts them as far as the east is from the west. So let me just tell you, eternity never stops. So when God grabs your transgression and throws them, it never comes back. It has no boomerang on it. It's not coming back to God. And all of a sudden, 10 years down the road, God grabs a boomerang. So, yeah, well, Shane missed it on this day, October the 17th. It's Shane missed it on this day. No, my friend, when God throws that sin, he removes that sin. That's the word there. He removes that sin far from you, that transgression. Can I give you some good news? Everything that you've ever done, past, present, and future, the Lord knows your heart. God has already removed your transgression from you. Now you say, why in the world are you saying that? Aren't you scared people will go out and sin? No, I'm not. Because when people realize how good grace is, you don't want to use it up. You don't want to violate it. You don't want to abuse it. You want to honor God for not giving you what you deserve. Right? Grace isn't a license to sin. Grace is an empowerment unto holiness. But what I see is Christians who committed a sin. They had a moral failure or a spiritual failure. And it might be 10, 20, 30, 40 years ago. And they're still carrying the weight of that sin around like Paul described in Romans chapter 7 at the end of the chapter. Oh, who shall deliver me from this body of death? And did you know if you carry that transgression around with you all the time? Here's what Christians do. They come up and they repent and say, Lord, forgive me. And they do no more than just get out to the car. And already the devil has handed them an envelope with that transgression back to them again. And here it gets on them again. And they carry it. Do you know if you carry a dead body around long enough, that death will get in you and it'll eat at the core of your being. And before long, you'll be dead. See, the devil knows this. This is the power of condemnation. Who shall deliver me from this body of death, Paul said. But you get over into Romans chapter 8, verse number 1. What does he say? There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in me has set me free from the law of sin and death. God is not, God don't have a filing system in heaven. This is the way Christians see God. He's sitting on his chair behind a big desk. And when we come to God, here's the way we think God does. God says, hold on just a minute. I hear what you're saying. You say you need this, need me to do this for you. Hang on just a minute. We turns around a big old filing cabinet and pulls out a file and has your name on it. And some of y'all got deeper files than others. That's all I'm saying. Some of it look like it's Bible. And he pulls out that filing cabinet and all of a sudden he opens the file and he points out, well, I would bless you, but I would accept you, but I would heal you, but I would step in for you and provide a better job, but. And then, so what happens is it destroys our, boy, I'm preaching so good here. It destroys our confidence when we come to God, because we come to God condemned, feeling like we can't receive. And when that happens, watch now, there's a blinder that comes over your eyes, and the eyes of your understanding can't be enlightened because you don't know what you have in him and you don't know what he's done for you. And the devil just puts dark glasses, and everything you look at is gloom, despair, and agony on me, and deep, dark depression, excessive misery. And if it wasn't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. But that ain't how God does it. Whenever you come to God, you're expecting him to turn around to a filing cabinet. God don't have a filing cabinet back there. God is omniscient. I want you to think about this. God is omniscient, which means he's omniscience. He's all knowledgeable. He's omniscient. He is all knowing. But did you know God is also omnipotent? He's all powerful. Can I tell you what that means? That means God, in his omnipotence, has said, I'm going to restrict a certain thing in my omniscience. What is that? It's your sin. It's my sin. God says, when you come to me and say, Lord, forgive me, I have chosen to throw your sin as far as the east is from west. God throws it out of his omniscience. That's good. Now, I know you don't need it, but I mess up every day. So when I come to God and I say, Lord, I thank you that you said if I come to you, you'll forgive me. Here's what I know about God. I don't ever have to bring it up again. Some of y'all coming back to God saying, Lord, I know I've already repented of, but I'm sorry again. And the Lord's saying, what are you talking about? I don't even know what you're talking about. Well, let me tell you again, and you go through the whole scenario again. How many times are you going to repent for something that's already under the blood and gone? It's gone, ladies and gentlemen. So watch this. Not only does he remove your iniquities, second word, the Bible says he remembers them no more. Never again. He remembers them no more. Now, Howard, that's some good stuff right there. He remembers them no more. How many of you have ever done something you shouldn't have done and you ask God to forgive you? I know people think they're going to get to heaven and God's going to bring it up. You say, I don't believe that. Well, go back over here to verse number 10. He hath not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. For heavens are high above the earth, so is great mercy toward those who fear him. For as far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed the transgression from us. He's not only removed it, he remembers it no more. You say, I don't believe that. Well, Isaiah chapter 43. Waiting on you to turn in your Bible. Isaiah chapter 43, verse number 25. Isaiah 43, verse 25. This is God talking. Y'all there? I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake. He doesn't do it for your sake. He does it for his sake. Because he can't hold your transgressions against you and give you what grace has provided. He said, I, he blots out your transgression for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. Y'all see that? He not only removes them, he remembers them no more. You say, well, but Pastor, that's Old Testament stuff. Well, I'm glad you said that. Let's go to the book of Hebrews chapter 8. Hebrews chapter 8. We're almost done. Hebrews chapter 8, verse number 12. Hebrews 8, verse 12. Y'all ready? Listen to this one. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. How many more times has God got to say it before you believe that he's not up there trying to keep an account of all of your sins? God doesn't have a filing cabinet. He doesn't have a naughty list like Santa Claus. He's not up there choosing who's naughty and nice. See, look at me. You think, and I think, this is the way the natural mind. The natural mind says that I have to have a certain level of perfection to have God's blessing on my life. Now, again, we believe in living right. So I believe I'm talking to people that understands and living the principles of God's word. Not using, you know, grace for lascivious living. We're not doing that. But in our minds, we think there's a certain level of work we've got to do for God to bless us. Well, let's think about this. Who's called the friend of God in your Bible? Abraham. Abraham's called the friend of God. Well, God calls Abraham out of Ur of Chaldees. And you would think God's going to bless Abraham so significantly, he's going to become the father of faith. So you know what? Abraham's got to be perfect, doesn't he? Well, you got Abraham and Hagar.
Yeah, come on.
Well, that's sure... jack things up, didn't it? Not only that, what about Abraham and some of the issues with Lot? Got family problems. Well, that throws him out of it right there. Or you know what? Let's throw this one in there. What about Abraham and Sarah, and he gonna give Sarah to Pharaoh? What kind of man gives his wife to another? I'd have died that day. I know you think you something, but I will cut the snake's head off the top of that hat you're wearing right there and will send you into eternity to meet the God that made you if you think you're going to take my wife from me. Come on, do I have any other good red-blooded men around here? What kind of man was Abraham that he'd give his own wife away? Because he's scared he's going to die. Oh, Lord. Baby, they're going to beat me up. So I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to let you go over there and hook up with Pharaoh, and maybe he'll let me live. What kind of man does that? So look at me. What I'm trying to tell you, if absolute perfection is what qualifies you to be a friend with God, Abraham couldn't have done that.
Come on.
If absolute perfection is who God uses to establish a nation, Jacob would have been disqualified from that. And that's all through the word of God. If absolute perfection means that's what you got to have to be an apostle. Well, Peter, he got a foul mouth and he's half coward. Who cusses out a girl? The little girl says, I know you know Jesus. And Peter goes, beep, 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 beep. Just goes crazy on a little girl. Can I tell you something? Do you know why all of those people were used by God? Because God loved them. Because God chose them. Because they were accepted by God. Not based on what they did when God made a covenant with Abraham. He didn't make it with Abraham. The Bible says he made it with himself. And when he could not swear by any greater, he swore by himself. He wasn't dependent on Abraham to live up to all of it. Hallelujah. God's not dependent on you being just perfect. Before he decided, but no, I'm telling you, God's already decided you're blessed. God's already decided you're accepted. God's already decided you're forgiven. God's already decided you're healed. God's already decided you're delivered. Come on, somebody. God's already decided it. All right, I had you write three words, so I got to end with this one because I don't want any of the church folks to beat me getting chicken. What does God do? He removes our transgression. Number two, he remembers them no more. Say that out loud. He remembers them. But then watch this one. He releases us from iniquity. He releases us from iniquity. Whew. So notice now. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, who forgives all of my... Look at me. I'm glad that he removes my transgression. I'm glad that he doesn't remember them anymore against me. But the problem is not my transgression. The problem is my iniquity. The problem is I have an inward bent, an inward flaw that's leading to an outward action. Are y'all with me? So he says, I'm forgiving your iniquities. And the word forgive there means to release. I'm releasing you from your iniquities. See, if God just removes my transgression, I'll do it again. And again. And again. And again. But I came with good news today. One of the benefits of being a believer is he releases you from your iniquity. You know that addiction that's controlling you? You're free and you don't even know it. That anger that's destroyed your life, you're free and you don't even know it. That lust that's overwhelming you and controlling all your decisions behind closed doors, you're free and you don't even know it. It's already been provided. Say it. It's already been provided. God's already taken care of it. You're free. You're free from those iniquities. That's the reason the Bible says if any man comes to Christ, old things pass away. All things become new. He's not talking about your outside, because when I got saved, everything didn't get new on the outside immediately. No, he's talking about on the inside. Right here, the Holy Ghost on the inside of me. Everything becomes new. And one of the things that becomes new is I'm forgiven. My transgressions are forgiven. He remembers them no more. And he not only does that, he goes into the depths of my soul. He releases me from iniquity. See, the real issue isn't the bondage you're in. The real issue is you don't know you're already free. You don't know that you're already free. We got people walking around just like they're a bunch of prisoners in chains. And they don't know that they're already free. Jesus already bought it, already paid for it. So I'm going to have you bow your heads right now in this room. We prayed for the sick earlier. We prayed for miracles earlier. Here's what I want to do today. I want to pray for people right now that feel like condemnation is just beating you down all the time. Now, nobody's going to look around here. Nobody is going to look around here. This is going to be between you and God. I'm not even going to call you up to the front today. But how many of you here just say, Pastor, I'll be honest. The devil's been doing a work on me with condemnation. He's just been beating me up. Telling me I'm unworthy, telling me that God won't bless me, God won't help me because of something I did, and he's just working on me. And I feel like, honestly, that I'm just carrying a body of death down. I want you to lift your hand if that's you. Just lift your hand. Hands are going up all over the building. I knew it would. I'm lifting my hand. I'm lifting my hand too. All right, you can put those hands down. Now, he's removed your transgressions, right? He doesn't remember them anymore. He's released you from your iniquities. You're not the same person that you think you are. You see yourself one way in the mirror. He sees you another set. He sees you as another person created after him. You're already released. You're already forgiven. So I want you to do something. Everybody in this room right now, whether you lifted hands or didn't, I want us to all lift up holy hands. The Bible calls these hands holy right there where you're at. Just lift them up to the Lord. Now, I'm getting ready to pray. And here's what I saw in my personal time preparing for this moment. I saw, and I've asked, that when I pray, that the Lord, like a warm honey, would just begin to flow out of heaven onto your soul. And it's going to be the witness of the Holy Spirit that you're free. And after we get through praying, Don't allow the devil to bring it back to you. Don't allow that boomerang to come back to you. God has thrown it as far as the east is from the west. He's not remembering this against you. You're released. You're free. Father, in Jesus' name. When you died on the cross, you said, "It is finished." You paid for sin, past, present, and future. The issue is not our salvation today. The issue is not our freedom today. The issue is we need to know who we are in Jesus. Now, Lord, for the last 30 to 45 minutes, I've been preaching the Word of God, making them aware of one of the main benefits we have as a believer, and that is that they have been forgiven of all of their iniquities. Lord, you've taken their sin and you've thrown it as far as the east is from the west. You've given them the power of the Holy Ghost on the inside to break every iniquity that's in their life. Father, your word says in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 4 and 5, that you were wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. You bled outwardly, you bled inwardly to set us free from transgression and iniquity. So right now, for every person who has their hand lifted up, Lord, would you by the Holy Spirit begin to witness to every single one of them that they're cleansed? Because God, I can tell them that they're free. I can tell them they're free. But Lord, if they don't have an enlightening moment where the spirit of wisdom and revelation comes on them to where they realize that they're really, really free, they'll walk out of here and pick up that condemnation again. God, right now, by the Holy Ghost, would you just witness to their spirit? They are free. Free. It's over. It's been settled. The blood of Christ has paid for it. Now, Holy Spirit that lives and dwells on the inside of you, would you begin to rise up in them? Would you begin to give them peace according to the grace that is in that has been provided for them? Would you allow the peace of God that passes understanding to comfort their heart and mind, to let them know? Lord, the Bible says that we have a witness that we are the sons and daughters of God. Give them a witness right now in their inner man that everything's all right. And give them peace today. Now, Father, I pray for anybody in this room who's not made a decision to serve you with all of their heart. They've not made a decision to forsake this world and to chase Jesus. I pray today that while I've been teaching, they realize you're such a good God that they would want you with all of their heart, soul, mind, and strength. So with those hands lifted up right now, we as a congregation are going to pray this prayer. And if you're sitting in here or you're watching me by television right now, all over the world, and you'd say, "Pastor, I'm not right with God. I've never given my life to Jesus Christ," or you're backslid and you're coming back and renewing your faith, I want us as a congregation to pray this. And everybody in this room, pray this out loud, especially those you know the Holy Spirit's dealing with you now. Just say, "Lord Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe the Word of God is true. I believe you died for my sin. And I believe that you have forgiven me. Right now by faith, I receive." Come on, say, "I receive. I receive the forgiveness that heaven has for me. I receive the freedom that's been given to me. And I decree and declare that Jesus is Lord of my life. And I will not serve any other. Thank you, God, for your goodness. Thank you, God, for your mercy. Thank you, God, for your grace on my life. In Jesus' name, amen and amen." Now, if you agree with that prayer, how about you get up on your feet right now and give Jesus a clap of praise. Thank him for his mercy. His mercy and his grace. Say this with me. Say, "I'm already blessed. I'm already the head. I'm already blessed. Everything I touch is going to prosper because God is for me. God is not against me." Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Do you believe that this morning? Do you really believe that this morning?